Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you so much for today's day you have made. As we gather here, we rejoice in your presence and we are glad in it. Thank you, Father, for as we gather here, we thank you for covering the prayers of our spiritual parents that has created these open heavens over us in which we enjoy and bask in your presence. My Father and my God, as I go into your word this afternoon, I humble myself. I come by the blood of Jesus, confessing my sins, Lord, repenting of them, receiving forgiveness, a cleansing, and a purging of my conscience from dead works to serve you, the living God. Father, I put all my confidence in your mercies, in the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit, that your mercy will flow through the prayers of my spiritual parents this day to enable me to teach, to preach, to minister as an oracle of God. Lord, help me to be concise and to be precise, not to say things that are unnecessary. And Lord, you will help me as a scribe instructor of the kingdom to bring things out of the treasure of your word, both new and old, in the name of Jesus. As word goes forth, Lord, you will cause our wills to further become further humbled, Lord, submitted to the will of God. That, Lord, our minds be further enlightened, the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Lord, as your word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, helping us to become more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory for all you will do in our midst. Holy Spirit, I set you at my right hand. Come and have your way. Come and glorify the name of Jesus in our midst. Come and testify of him. Let him alone be glorified as you go into your word in Jesus' name. In these days to draw all men to himself. And as we gather here, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me to bring a word in season. Thank God for Pastor. I thank God for Mommy. I'd not say religiously, but because of the years of sacrifice and leadership by example. When they say pray, they themselves, you see them pray the way they told you to pray. So leadership has to be by example. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for their lives. The mercy of God on their lives. The Bible says, you have not many fathers. It's not a religious cliche, but it is a fact. What I'll be sharing this afternoon is based on what Pastor and Mommy have shared over the years. And I've titled it, Gather My Saints Together Unto Me. Let's say it together. Gather my saints together unto me. Pastor is, the just guy says something. He said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. This message hangs on two messages, in particular, a pastor preached many years ago, covenant by sacrifice and the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood. So I won't be saying anything that is new. It's just that on, I think it was on Monday, I just read my morning prayer and I was about to read my Bible, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, "Gather my sins, gather unto me. Gather my sins, gather unto me." And I said, I knew that if I did not take it at that time to pen down what God wanted to tell me, that thing would lift. So I stopped and I started writing. And here I am today by the grace of God to share the same word. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me. This is God speaking here. Let's be together. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Notice it did not say, gather those that come to scripture pastor. And that it did say that gather those that go to New Covenant Church. Or gather those that fast and pray every day. It's good to do those things. But he specified those that he wants to be gathered unto him. So read again, gather my saints together unto me. It is God that is talking here, not man. Even though it was the psalmist that recorded it. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made what? A covenant with by sacrifice. God is in this present day gathering saints unto him. Not just any saint or every saint. Every born again Christian is a saint. By the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's not every saint that will be gathered unto God in this day. It is only those that have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. It's very, very important for us to have that at the back of our minds. It is the making or the keeping of this covenant that qualifies you and I or whoever or any saint to be gathered unto him. So when the Lord spoke that word to me, I began to ask him, because I said, Lord, why are you telling me this, Lord? Why are you gathering people at this time? Immediately said it, I knew he was talking from Psalm 50 verse 5. And as I proceed, I will explain why. There's a reason why God is gathering people at this time. It's a prophetic message. And we'll do good to ourselves, to greet myself, to take heed to it. Because this is what God is presently doing in his church. It's not limited to us here. It is in the universal church. Where he has raised up fathers. Praise the Lord.
So then what is the covenant? We need to know and define our terms properly. What is this covenant we are talking about? Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord. We exalt your name. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10. Let us go. For this is the covenant. So it specifies the covenant we are talking about. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will do what? Put my laws in their what? Mind. And I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Say, this is the covenant. So simple. Pastor has taught us from this scripture over and over. That I will do what? I will make with the house of Israel a type of a church. The spiritual Israel. After those days, said Lord, I will do what? Put my laws. Say, put my laws. Put my laws in their mind, and do what? Write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. And they will be to me on a people. That means if he does not put his laws in our hearts and our minds, we are not going to be his people. But he's not going to be our God. You see, we are God's people. But we are talking about a higher level of relationship. In which God wants to, let him put it in the computer terms, he wants to program you and I. So that everything you do, you respond in love. That in any situation you find yourself, you are just going to respond the way God with love will respond. So for him to do that, he needs to program you. Like they write a program. So when any external stimuli comes against you, the prince of the power of the air, you will not panic or be afraid. You will just do exactly what God will do. If, for example, you face a storm, you speak to that storm, peace, be still. Why? Because you have been programmed. It's the same as being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So what is this covenant? We have defined it. Let me make it clear. Romans, Paul, when he was talking to Romans, he describes that law. It's the law of life and love. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Put it in Amplified because of time. Romans 13, verse 10 says, love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, let's look at that. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. Like Pastor Kuni was teaching us so beautifully this morning about the law. That when the law came, sin revived and I died. The summary of the entire law that God gave under the Old Testament is the law of love, of life and love. And God wants to write that law in my heart and in your heart. And the purpose for writing that law, we've seen in that covenant is making, that you will be my people and I'll be your God. So that when people see you, they will see God. You see, it's for example, when you first have an adage, they say that, oh man, a bad journey, abayo. That is when you go out with someone, you say this guy is not behaving like his father. Even though biologically that his father gave birth to him, but he has not developed the character of God. So you see, he has brought that person, probably has did something that brings his father to shame. So God is saying that this process of me becoming your God and you becoming my people is not going to occur until what? I write my law in your heart and in your mind. Then you will be my people and I will be your God. Corinthians says that I will walk amongst them and I will be their God. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. So in summary, that is the law that God wants to write. It's the same that Pastor has taught us over the years. It is the perfection of the love of God in our souls and in our flesh. So the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Praise the Lord. So that is the covenant we have defined, and God is only going to be able to do it by His Spirit. And it is those that are keeping that covenant that God is going to gather to Himself. So why is this message very important? That's the question I asked God, which is when He spoke to me and He said, gather my sins unto me, together unto me. He said it the first time, He said it the second time. He said, and I just stopped every now and then. I said, okay, Lord, what are you telling me? Then I sat down and began to write. He began to show me other things. I said, Lord, why are you gathering people at this time? You see, we've read the scripture over and over. It is now a word in season for every saint to be gathered unto God. But to be gathered unto Him, you must keep covenant by sacrifice. Why is God gathering people, His saints, unto Him? Those that have made covenant by sacrifice. It's very simple. When He spoke to me, I said, wow, I never saw it this way. Because we are in the season of a feast of ingathering. It's so simple. We have entered that season. You see, God spoke that to me. That's why it's a rhema word for now. He said we are in the season of the feast of ingathering. He said that is where I'm gathering people unto myself. Exodus chapter 23 verse 16. Put in the Amplified as we read. Exodus chapter 23 verse 16. That's why he's gathering people. We are in the season of a feast of ingathering. Let's get that. Also, you shall do what? Keep the feast of harvest. That is Pentecost. Acknowledging the first fruit of your toil, of what you sow in the field. And third, you shall keep what? The feast of ingathering. Also known as the feast of booths or tabernacles. At the end of the year. When what? You shall gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. Let's do it together. When what? You shall gather in what? The fruit of your labors from the field. That's another message for another day. The Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He's not talking about physical labor. Your labor in Christianity is to bring about the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he's saying here. Not talking about regular harvest that people have in churches. That is okay. That's just a type. When you have gathered in the labor, the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. So that's why he's gathering people unto him. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 49:10, it says, unto the Lord shall the gathering of the people be. It's gathering people. We're in that season. We're in that season of the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's blowing a trumpet to the church. In Numbers 20, God told Moses, he said, Numbers 21, he said, I've made these two silver trumpets. And I've got to tell him, you see, when the Bible talks about trumpets here, he's not talking about types and shadows. But I've seen in Isaiah 58 verse 1, he says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. So the prophetic voice is saying to the church today, gather ye together my saints that have made covenant with sacrifice. Numbers chapter 10 verse 7, I believe it is. Put it on the board. Just to touch it and move on briefly. 10, 10, 10. Numbers 10, not 27. But when, let's look at it. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall do a blow, but it shall not sound an alarm. So God is blowing a silver trumpet. Silver in the Bible speaks about redemption. So he's blowing that trumpet today. Why? To gather the people together. So we need to have the ears of the Spirit. We hear what the prophetic voice is saying to the church. Gather my saints together. Those that have made covenant by sacrifice. Verse 10 of that same verse, of that same chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Also, make it clearer. In the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with what? The trumpets over your burnt offering and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So God told Moses back then that when you are going to have your set feast, pick that silver trumpet to gather people and begin to blow it. It's not an alarm. Are you following me? That they should gather unto him. For unto the Lord shall the gathering of the people be. Now the second point is, ask the Lord, say, why are you gathering people? Because you say to yourself, well, I thought we are gathered every Sunday. It is true. But there is a deeper level of which God, you see, the fact that you and I are sitting in church today or in any church does not mean we are gathered. By the help of the Holy Spirit, we will see what it means to be gathered unto the Lord. Now, why is God, the second reason given, why is he gathering people? God wants to put a measure of a spirit without measure, the borrowed anointing, on two spiritual fathers, on those that gather unto him, under them, of which Moses is a type. That is the second reason. So you must hear the prophetic voice. And then as you begin to keep that covenant, you begin to migrate unto God under Moses. For unto the Lord shall the gathering of the people be. You see, you can gather to Moses and not be gathered for this purpose. You could be working in Moses' office. You'll be serving Moses, but you may not be gathered to the Lord. So there is a purpose for the gathering. It's not just gathering for gathering's sake. It's to gather unto the Moses. Why? Because you recognize and understand the feast that we are in. And then you also understand that your purpose for the prophetic voice is so that they can receive a measure, not a fullness, of the spirit, that measure that is on Moses, that God will now take and put upon you. So simple. We're in that season of Feast of Tabernacles, and God is blowing his trumpet. I said, gather the people unto me, those that have made covenant with sacrifice. So he does know what the most important thing is, to know Moses and then to keep covenant with sacrifice. Then you qualify to receive what? A measure of a spiritual measure. Praise the Lord. If you notice in Numbers 11, that's why God gave Moses that. Numbers 11, 16. I just mentioned it. I will move on. Numbers 11, 16. What does it say? And the Lord said unto Moses, do what? Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto what? The tabernacle of the congregation, that they may do what? Stand there with you. Let's say together, stand there with you. The gathering unto God under Moses' covering is to stand with Moses. That was stand there with him speaks about unity, love, and purpose. Those are the three main things. You must stand in unity, nobody breaking rank. Stand perfecting the love of God, and then the purpose of God, which is the next reason we'll see in verse 17. Once you have those three things in your heart and you're working it out, then you qualify to receive a measure of a spiritual measure. Verse 17. And I will come down and I will talk with thee. I'll talk with thee there. And I will take what? Of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall what? Bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. When God sees that gathering in unity under Moses, unity, love, and purpose, and he said they will come down. You see, when he came down here, it wasn't when he said I will come down, that I will put the spirit. That was not when he put the spirit upon Moses. Mm-mm. He had put it there before. He now wants to take a measure of it and put it on other people. So you understand why an apostle says something like, the spirit without measure has been released. You understand it. That is why what we are waiting for now is the manifestation. But before that manifestation, there has to be a gathering. So we now have the gathering. God now goes to Moses and takes that which is upon him, and I begins to put it on different people that gather unto me, keeping covenant by sacrifice. It's so simple. It's not a localized thing. If you read that story, there were two guys, Eldad and Medad. They were not in the camp. And the young man Joshua said, Lord, I saw Eldad and Medad prophesying. He said, should I stop them? And Moses said, no, who to God that all the children of God will prophesy? That means for all. Say the spirit that measure the border not is for all. It's for everybody. That's what Moses said. If you read, and we don't have time to turn there. For those that are in diaspora, anywhere, it's for all. He said, what to God that everybody can have it. But what I want to see in the second verse is this. He said that they may bear the burden within. What burden are we of the people? What burden are we talking about? It is the burden, overwhelming burden, for us as an end time church to break rule and disciple nations and enclose this age. One man can do it. It's overwhelming. So God now says, gather those that will qualify and those that make covenant with sacrifice. So let them gather unto you in unity, in love, and also in purpose. And that purpose is to break rule, disciple the nations. So that is why God has given us that spirit without measure. The riches untold our pastor has talked about. You know, Paul says that God is it that giveth the power to get well, that he may establish his covenant in the earth. So when you gather unto him, that's the first stage in purpose, unity, and love. Then God now takes the spirit upon Moses and now puts it upon you and I, so that what we can carry that burden is the burden. Everyone says, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Say, then shall the end come. It's an overwhelming burden. God needs you and I. But see, we can't do it until we gather and we receive a borrowed anointing of a spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. You see, I don't have time to turn there. You see, in this same group, there's another group within Moses' circle that all they gathered to was bread and fish. Yes, in that same story, read down now, they were already complaining, they wanted quails and all that. Those ones, they gathered themselves. So it's not, one man says, hey, God wants everybody to. But not everybody, talking about universal church, and that will be gathered unto Moses for that purpose. Some are going to come just for bread and fish. They're going to complain, look, we are so loaded this daily manna. Give us something to eat. And God will still honor them and give it to them. But see, they will not qualify to carry the spirit of that measure to the ends of the earth. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So, but the something I discovered when God was speaking to me was that there are other gatherings that are taking place that is not of God. Isn't God wonderful? He doesn't want us to go to the wrong gathering. So he defines it. This is what you induce, how you know what you are gathering unto Moses. Or let me put this, gathering unto me under Moses. So what happened? Let's look at these three. There are three gatherings that I was able to write down when the Lord was speaking to me. And it's three of them. I put them down. Firstly, the priesthood of Aaron. These three gatherings is going to lead to a change in the body of Christ. Mark my word. The Aaronic priesthood is going to give way to the Melchizedek priesthood. Let's say it together. The Aaronic priesthood is going to give way to the Melchizedek priesthood. Aaron is a type of a priest, the high priest, whose garments is soiled with idolatry. The second gathering that we see in the Bible is when Saul was going to fight the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. The Bible says he gathered Israel unto himself. So the kingship is also going to give way to a new kingship after the pattern of David. Then the third gathering we see in the Bible is the gathering of Korah. They were all leaders, and they gathered people to themselves. Korah's gathering is going to give way to change and bring about a fully submitted followership. So there's going to be a change in the body of Christ. So the Bible says, who is on the Lord's side? Zechariah 11:8 says, three shepherds shall I cut off in 1 month. Let's look at it closely and put some scripture behind. The Aaronic priesthood that is given back, that is whose garments, priestly garments, is soiled with idolatry. You all know that story. Exodus 32 verse 1. Just mention it. You see, when Moses delayed his coming, there's always a delay in the things of God. You see, understand, there's always it's not because God is delaying, but the person is not willing that any should perish, or it's not willing that any should miss out from what he's about to do. So you wait. Nothing stops God from doing what he wants to do, but you just wait. Let me just wait. Peradventure, some people hear the prophetic voice and yield. That's why we do. When it seemed as if Moses delayed his coming, Aaron gathered the people unto himself. You know that story, and he made that golden calf, and he made them sing. Bible says that they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. That is what is happening in majority of the churches in the body of Christ today, both in Nigeria and abroad. Exodus 32 verse, what does it say? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, look who delayed Moses. Was in God's presence. So Moses, it wasn't because Moses had a traffic jam on the way, or something happened to his car, so to speak, in contemporary times. No, God had not finished instructing him. So, but what happened? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Moses and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. You know the story. He collected their earrings, made a golden calf, stripped them naked, and they danced around the golden calf. And from that day, Aaron was finished. That was the end. When he was going to die, God said, take your brother Aaron to the mountain and strip him of his garments. I put upon Eleazar. If there's anything you should know that God hates, it is idolatry. Flee from it. Covetousness. Colossians chapter 2 verse 5. Ephesians 5:5. He will soil your garments. And we are to have garments without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. It's like Pastor Clint was teaching. It only takes the blood, the word, and the spirit to get rid of those spots and blemishes. So know where you're gathering to. The second gathering I mentioned, the kingship from Saul to David. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. What does it say? 1 Samuel, let's see. This was when he was talking about Saul. forever is a chain of sin of witchcraft. Now, the scripture I want is 1 Samuel 28, verse 4. The kingship of Saul speaks of a type of stubborn and rebellious leadership. Have I mentioned that scripture? It says, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and iniquity is idolatry. But 1 Samuel chapter 28 talks about the gathering of Saul. It's going on right now in the body of Christ. What does it say? And the Philistines rest together. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and they came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul did what? Gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gibeah. Look at that ratio. There was just a company of about 400 people gathered with David. Many, all of Israel, were gathered to Saul. David almost made a mistake. Because he was going to join in this fight. Like Pastor Ibrahim was preaching to us briefly on Wednesday. God didn't call him to go and fight with the Philistines against Israel. A house divided against itself cannot stand. But God had mercy on him that he went back. But you know what happened when he went back to Ziklag? The Bible says that, you know, he recovered all the pastors who were sharing with us on Wednesday. But something I want to point out, God mentioned to me. The Bible says that Ziklag belongs unto the kings of Judah. So what is Ziklag? That means if you see Ziklag, you know, it belongs to a king. It's not to you and I. It speaks of a fully submitted will to the will of God. You can check the word Ziklag in the Bible. It means measure, press down. Just like I said, not my will, your will be done. It's only kings that can get to that level. That's why it is given to the kings of Judah. Measure, press down. Say he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, the heart of the king is the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, eternity with us forever, he will. Ziklag belongeth unto the kings. So what are we saying? David went back to Ziklag. That was his business. That is what God had. That was the assignment that he had. A will fully submitted to the will of God. So he went back from fighting the wrong battle. So, the last gathering we are talking about is Korah. Fully submitted followership. Numbers 16 verses 1 to 3. What does it say? Numbers 16 verses 1 to 3. Just to see, these are the wrong gatherings that God doesn't want us to join. Now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. They did what? They took man. Next verse, verse 2. And they rose up before Moses against constituted authority with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, what? Famous in the congregation, men of renown. Next verse. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. It wasn't God that lifted up Moses? Is it God that designed that was supposed to be one gathering to Moses? But see, Aaron had his own gathering. Also, this funny guy, has his own gathering. This funny thing on Kenny, you go and gather against somebody you can't fight. It's a fact. You know what happened to them? Moses was so angry. He didn't say it that way, but it's the same thing he said. He said, He said, if Lord do something new, he said, you know, I'm not. And what happened? The ground opened up and he swallowed them. Ajakuya. Pressed down, shaking together beyond measure. God even allowed them to appeal. He just dealt with them. Summarily. No begging. No funeral procession. They didn't bring them to church and pray, and nobody had no reception, nothing. They just went straight down to the pit. How the Bible says. Why? Because they dare to rise up against the man of God that God has put the spirit of that measure upon. You see, it's not the man, understand. It's because God has a purpose and he has found that man faithful. So he put that spirit upon him. So when you come against that man who is trying to fill that purpose, you come against God. That's why Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Not against Peter. The man that had the Spirit upon his head. Understand it. And let's learn to reverence and submit to authority. Praise the Lord. So, that is what God is doing. He doesn't want us to join that other gathering. There's only one gathering, which is unto the Lord under Moses. In this season, so we can receive the measure of the Spirit, that measure to break rule and disciple the nations and then close it. It's that simple. It's not a long message. So we are to gather under Moses, type of true spiritual fathers that God has raised up. Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew 23 verse 7, he said, Jerusalem, Jesus said, how we have longed to gather your children together. Like again, Matthew 23 verse 37, he said, Jesus Christ had the same problem. Let me tell you a fact. You may not believe it. It wasn't only the 12 or the 70 that I wanted to gather. It was only them. Why you didn't find one other guy who was doing miracles in his name? Yeah, understand. There will be this 12, there will be the 20, and the 70. Then the others too, if they had obeyed. If they had done what that guy did, gather or doing miracles that were not part of them, it would have fallen upon them. But they refused to be gathered to him. You don't seem to believe me. That's God's purpose. That's why he told them in the Old Testament. He said, bring everybody to me. He said, I want them to know me. When the first time. They said, no, we don't want to know you. Just let Moses talk to you. Whatever he tells you to, we'll come and do it. That is the purpose of God. God wants every saint in the universal church to carry that borrowed anointing. That's his joy. God is not partial. He's not partial. He's no respecter of persons. If you gather in this feast and you do what you are told to do, the anointing will come upon you. You don't have to be in this house. You can be outside this house. You can be everywhere. But see, the problem is this. Those of us are in this house. To whom much is given, much is required. That was why Judas's punishment was very, very bad. He was carrying the master's bag around. Stealing from the bag. But that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So that's how we gather. So how do we gather? We gather, firstly, the first point I've mentioned in the passing, we gather unto the Lord under Moses, a type of set spiritual fathers that God has raised up. That is the first thing. As we are hearing the prophetic voice, the trumpet being blown, the first thing is to make up our mind to gather. You see, but before you gather, the next thing you need to do is need to obey the instructions. That's the second point. To keep the covenant of life and love. Using the blood, the word, and the spirit. To keep the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood. Those are the two things we need to do. I'll explain it. I said the two things we need to do to partake of this bold anointing upon Moses is to first of all determine to gather. Now, how do you gather? You don't just gather. If you go there and you just gather, you'll be like that guy that gathered for that wedding feast that did not have a wedding garment. They will still take you out. What will give you the wedding garments is when you now begin to obey the instructions to keep what? Using the blood, the word, and the spirit. To keep the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood. That's the new priesthood that is coming in. Use the blood. Pastor Wayne talked about it beautifully this morning. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20, 21. Talks about perfecting the love of God. Hebrews chapter 10, 13 verse 20, let's just mention it, because that's the most important thing. You see, we can talk about types and shadows, Ziklag. If you go with that and you don't know what you are going to do, it's as going away with nothing. So this is the most important part of the message. Like he went to tell John the Baptist, he said, repent. He said, if you have to quote, he said, what shall we do? Thank God for Ziklag. Thank God for Aaronic priesthood. The question is, what shall we do? So you can partake of the spirit that measure and break rule and disciple the nations. We gather under Moses, like I said earlier on, by obeying the instructions to keep the covenant of life and love, which is the same covenant by sacrifice, using the blood. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. 13:20. Let's just read it for faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hebrews 13:20 says that now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Next verse. Make you what? Perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forevermore. So everybody say, we need the blood to gather unto Moses. The next thing is the word of God. 1 John chapter 2 verse 5. On the double. Whereby know we that we are in him. Then the spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 12. We're going to stop very soon. It's not a long message. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Next verse. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. So simple. Those are the three things we need to gather unto the Lord under Moses. Now, something I want to mention is just in passing. Remember to portray the fact of this issue of the spirit without measure. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares. It was during the harvest that Lord just spoke. He said, leave them. He said, shall we gather them? He said, no. He said, leave them until the time of the harvest. Tabernacles. He said, leave them. He said, that's why you're trying to gather the tares. You gather the wheat. So don't be surprised and say, oh, why hasn't God done anything to Aaron? Why hasn't God removed Korah? Why hasn't God done anything to Saul? So he said, leave them. You don't understand. Leave them. While you are trying to uproot them, there are wheats that are under them. You can uproot them together. You know, if you have a very big tree, when you pull up the tree, it's going to pull up anything in the surrounding. We'll go with it. Because at least it's covering, putting shade over them. With that gatekeeper. So he said, wait. Don't wait till the harvest. You know, he said something. I don't have time to tell. It's in the book of Matthew. He said, then shall the righteous shine in the kingdom of their Father. In this time of the harvest. Arise, shine, the Bible says, for thy light is come. And what the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. These are the things that the Lord is about to do. Now, what are these spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood? We need to know. So we don't go home thinking we have to go and buy a goat like Pastor Kunle was sharing, or two turtle doves to share their blood. No, it's very simple. The Bible says that you and I are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. In the Old Testament, they offered natural sacrifices, which was a type of spiritual sacrifices that the church, the New Testament church, is to offer up. And basically, it talks about prayer. How about say prayer? Prayer. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, to support that before we look at it in detail. There are four of those sacrifices that Pastor has taught us. The sacrifice of the wicked, let's say that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But what? The prayer. But what? The prayer of the upright is his delight. So we're talking about spiritual sacrifice. Say the sacrifices of the wicked. In that same psalm, it talks about the wicked casting instructions behind him. So when a wicked person, a disobedient person, somebody that has a stubborn and rebellious heart, takes God's statutes, is an abomination when he prays. Because his heart has been, is a portal for Satan to use, allowing iniquity to walk through him. But it says that the prayer, so sacrifice here is talking about prayer. Of the what? The upright is his delight. So what are these spiritual sacrifices? There are four. Say sin offering, peace offering, meal offering, and burnt offering. So simple. A balanced diet every day. Say sin offering, peace offering, meal offering, and burnt offering. So what is the sin offering? Pastor Kunle shared about this so briefly. I won't belabor the point. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from righteousness. So when you say, Father, let's say together, Father, I confess our sins, we just offer up the sin offering. It's so simple. But says, commandments are not grievous. We should be grateful to God, though, for what Lord Jesus Christ did through his blood. In those days, you had to go and look for money, buy something, take it to the high priest, all the way to Jerusalem. Let them shed that blood before you come back again. By the time you are even turning back from the priest, you have already committed another sin. So you go back again, and then you buy another one, and then you come back again. You can imagine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One sacrifice for all. Eternal salvation. Eternal redemption. So when you say, Father, I confess our sins, you have offered a sin sacrifice. You see, that's why I thank God so much for Pastor and Mommy. You see, when I sit down and God shows me this thing, I think deeply. I say, ah! You see, the Bible says, with the lowly is wisdom. How come majority of leaders in church can't see it? There's a problem, oh! Big problem in the church. Why can't they see it? You know what Jesus Christ told them? when Peter said something, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He said, it is, he said, thank you, Father. It has pleased you to reveal it to the babes, the scribes and the Pharisees. Didn't see it. Why? Because they did not gather to him. Woe to God that people that will have gathered, submitted their ministry to the man of God who has raised over this nation at this time. Woe to God. Look at what they are missing. Instead, they are pleading the blood on the expressway. If you like, put inside your radiator. Bloody Mary. Father, forgive me. Meal offering. What is the meal offering? Peace offering. Peace offering first. Peace offering. Ephesians 6:15. What does it say? It says that Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of feet. The feet speaks about the work. So when you wash feet, you are offering up your meal offering. How do we do it? Faster, pastor, he combined everything in one. So when he said, Father, I confess our sins, you offered up his sin offering. When he said, Jesus said, I have life, that's the peace offering. And I pray in tongues. It's so simple. Father, who can do that? Let him put up his hand. You see, that means we can all do it. So why aren't we doing it? Or let me say this, let us do it more diligently. I follow, so that we can complete that gathering. Are you following me? That gathering. That's the peace offering. When you say, Father, I say, God, Father, we confess our sins. And Jesus said, we'll have life. Then you pray in tongues. That is the peace offering. Your feet being shod with the preparations of gospel of peace. So you are walking in peace with all men. That's how you do it. It's so simple. Then the next offering is the meal offering. Let's say the meal offering. Meal offering. That is praise and worship. Giving thanks to God continually. But pastor, he said, when you do that thing, he said, just say, Father, I thank you. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Don't you agree that it's so simple? What does it say? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Meal offering. That's what God eats. Meal. Meal. Onje. Meal. He said, I don't need cow. I don't need your bullock. I don't need this. If I need anything, I own the cattle of 1,000 is. He said, what I eat is the meal offering. Praise and worship, giving thanks to God. He says, with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Not only when we come to church and we worship God and lift up holy hands. No. Every time. Bible says, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you. When you say, Father, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Then you can also pray in tongues. Bible says, he that giveth thanks in the spirit, give it thanks well. So you say, oh Father, you don't know that God is hungry. He's hungry. Why won't he be hungry? Look at the quota of people that are doing it. So when you miss your prayer in the morning, you deny God of his breakfast. Then in the afternoon, you keep going like that, you deny them of his lunch. Then you want to finish everything at night, no dinner. That is why he said that giving thanks to him always. Said this is the will of God. God is hungry. Like Jesus Christ, when he saw that fig tree, he was hungry. He said, hi, come on. It's all only leaves. And the Bible says he cursed it. No meal. No meal. No meal. But we'll give him a meal offering regularly. That is the most important thing. Praise the Lord. If you've not been doing, let's ask God. It's very simple. If you have not been, just say, Lord, I offer up my sin offering. Father, I confess my sins. Praise the Lord. So the last offering is the burnt offering. As we begin to round up and stop, I'm going to stop now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful. The burnt offering. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is an important offering to offer in this day. What does it mean, offerings? Because I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies. What? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Which is your reasonable service. If you want to show God that you are responsible every day, you present your body unto him a living sacrifice. If you don't do it, that means that sacrifice of a body that is a dead sacrifice. Why? Because of the sin nature, like Pastor Kunle was sharing with us, that is inside it. That sin nature will make you do what you don't want to do. The Bible says that the carnal mind is in enmity with God. It can never please God. So if you don't offer that burnt offering every day to God, are you following me? What are you doing? You have not presented, you have first of all shown God you are not reasonable. It says present, did I write the Bible? We all want to be responsible now. And so it says presenting, he said, I'm begging you guys, I'm begging you, please, therefore brethren, by the mercy of God, remember SPCC is the year of mercy to Abraham. So take that mercy and present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if you don't do it, you are not a reasonable person. It's that simple. So in fact, as you go out that day and the sin nature begins to control you, and you begin to do things that are unreasonable, sir. You get to somewhere, you get angry. I thought he was a Christian. You start saying, don't let me go there. You should have known the unreasonable things. So let us do them. Don't let them. This is the way of escape. Are you following me? So what is this burnt offering? How do we offer it up? It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That living there speaks of the life of God. What makes a dead sacrifice is when that sin nature is dominant inside it. What makes it living is when you pump the life of God into that physical body. And that physical body comes alive and does not respond to external stimuli. The Bible says that walk in the spirit so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, blah, 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 blah. You cannot do that if you don't put that life in the body. The body will go out that day and fornicate. Not necessarily go and sleep with somebody in an hotel. But like Jesus Christ said, he said, if you have looked at a woman lustfully, you have done it. That's it, though. That is the level of Christianity. That is how you show God that you are responsible. The Bible says you are, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Said, no, you're not. That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That you have been bought with a price. And you are not your own. Whoever is joined to an allot, you know, he says, are you going to, you know, if you had been there, thank God it was writing letters to them. You know, it was, he said, no, you not. You wake up in the morning, you speak in tongues. You take that same man to go and talk rubbish. Bible says in the book of James that if does the same bitter water and spring from the same sweet water and bitter, does it? Said it from the same. Said you don't understand. But you see, as he told them that, he told them the way of escape. He said, let's do together. Wherefore, presenting by the mercies of God, it takes the mercy of God to pray. So don't wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to be responsible. Not in your own strength. You're going to fall asleep before you even start the battle. Show you are not responsible. Praise the Lord. So how do we do this before we stop? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 4. We're going to stop now. If you don't pray with travail, you can't do it. It's not possible. Let's explain it through the scripture. For we that are in this tabernacle, what is the tabernacle is talking about? The body. My body and your body. Do what? Groan. I don't know why people see this and run away from groaning. For we, let's say together like we believe it. For we, turn to your neighbor, you and I, in this tabernacle, do what? Groan. Hold on. It says, being burdened. Not for that we should be unclothed. That is, we are not groaning so we can die. That, but that what? Mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, let rest with this view. Follow me. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So if you don't groan, mortality will not be swallowed up of life. So you can see how many people are responsible in the body of Christ that deny groaning. Next verse. In fact, that is why, part of why God gave you and I the earnest of the Spirit. Next verse, same discourse. Now, he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God. Why? Who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So it's the earnest of the Spirit that will help you to grow. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, for God's sake. It is that earnest that will help you to grow. So if you don't grow, you're not using the earnest of the Spirit. And you can't present that body every day. Likewise, for God's sake. Likewise, boys. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit what? Himself maketh intercession. How? It's simple. He said the Spirit himself, don't mind that we put it there. It's not. He said the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. He didn't stop. He didn't leave it to your imagination. He said the Spirit maketh intercession. If you think, and Lord, how, ask this question. How? Say how? How does the Spirit make intercession for me? I need to know. So I don't wake up in the morning, I begin to pray in tongues. I said, it is true. It's making intercession at that level. But the level we are talking about is to pump the life of God into your body so that our body that day can be a living sacrifice. The Spirit himself. Also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself does what? Make it intercession for us. Put question mark. How? With groanings which cannot be uttered. I need to stop. You see, here it's not talking about you can't hear it. And with our groan, I don't hear them. They don't even hear themselves. That word uttered there is the same word that talks about the prophetic utterance. When you pray in tongues. What he's saying is that it is not, you can't separate it into words. I can speak it now. You can write what I'm saying down. If I start praying in tongues, you can write what I'm saying down. You can write it down even though you don't understand this. That's what an utterance is. When you give a prophetic utterance, when you give tongues and interpretation, it's an utterance. You can hear it. You are speaking words even though you don't understand. You can understand the word, distinct words. But say groanings cannot be uttered. It's not. You can't say. I separate the words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All the praise, all the glory goes unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How can you separate those words? You can't. You can't. So in summary, make it for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. Now, if you don't do that, it says that, and he that searcheth the heart, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You don't need to understand it. God knows what the Spirit is saying. You know when you have a little child, and you just get back to a baby. Just when the baby is hungry, how does the mother know she's hungry? Does she go to his mommy? No. God has put that thing in the women to know. You just said that about to drink. That same thing that boy said. Then the same mom said, "What are you going to do?" Then we carry him again. He has not changed water. Then the last thing we do again is this. What is it? What are we saying? What are we saying? God understands you. God understands you. Don't let the devil deceive you. God understands you. God understands you. My father understands you. Our father understands you. He understands. He understands. That song we sing. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. You may not know when I'm groaning. He sees each day that falls, and he hears me when I groan. He understands. He understands. So he says something to remove every iota of doubt from your mind. He says that because he maketh intercession for the saints that are gathered unto him. Don't forget Psalm 50. According to the will of God. So when I groan, I'm groaning according to the will of God. And my father understands. In closing, the last scripture, and we stand up and we pray. Like we mean business. To gather under Moses to receive a measure of spiritual measure. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 10. It's a prophetic time for us from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. It's prophetic, I said earlier on. I thank God for the privilege to share it. I thank God for my parents to share it. I thank God for covering to share it. But says, the Lord gave the word and great is the company of them that published it. I'm just echoing what Pastor Amuna said. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 10. In that day, say it together, in that day, gather all the strength you have together, because we're going to pray now. So just finish in style. In that day, okay, verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my despised, shall bring me an offering, covenant by sacrifice. Verse 12, because of time, let's be together. Verse 12, I will also live in the midst of thee, and afflicted, and poor people, poor in spirit, and they shall do what? Trust in the name of the Lord, the character of God. The Lord wants to use the love, the light, the Lord to perfect in the hearts. Verse 13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Give all the glory to you. Thank you for glorifying Jesus. The remnant of Israel, those that gather to him by covenant or sacrifice, shall do not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. What a promise for us from beyond the parts of Ethiopia. Verse 14. We are grateful, Holy Spirit. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all what your heart. Daughter of Jerusalem. Verse 17. Verse 17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He didn't say he may be. He's a sure banker when we keep covenant with sacrifice. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over the with singing. Verse 18. I will gather them. I will gather them. He is gathering us. What them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden, all the nonsense that is taking place in the church. Verse 19 and 20. 19. Behold, at that time, and with this time, I will undo. I will undo. I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that hurteth, and do what? Gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Last verse, let's stand up and read it. I will pray. At that time, even in this time, will I bring you again, even in the time that I would gather you, for I will make you what? A name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When I do what? Turn back your captivity before your eyes, say the Lord of hosts. Let's talk to God. Please, you're going to sing this song. Behold thy God. Behold thy God. Talk to the Lord, please, as you pray. Let's talk to him. Let's begin to offer up the sin offering. When we have not been doing this now as we ought to, there's mercy available. It's a year of the mercy of God to triumph over every judgment. Wherever we have been negligent, including me also, let's say, Father, I confess our sins. Sins of disobedience to instruction. There's room to gather. Why is God bringing this message? So we can be gathered and inherit the spirit of that measure that's upon the set fathers in house. Let's talk to God. We're in that time. We're in the season of tabernacles, feast of tabernacles. Behold thy God,
the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee,
in the midst of thee,
is mighty,
is mighty.
In the midst of thee,
is mighty.
put our left hand on our hearts and raise the other hand unto the Lord. When we lift up our hands, it's a sign of surrender unto Him. As a lifting up holy hands unto the Lord, let all men pray without doubt or wrath. When we pray, let us offer up our sin offering. When we say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. I say, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you are gathering unto yourself those that make covenant by sacrifice under set spiritual fathers. I come to receive mercy. I come to receive grace to enable me to keep the covenant of the perfection of the love of God daily by keeping spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood gathered under the set spiritual authorities you have raised up and put over me, that I might be a partaker of the bold anointing, even the spirit that measure in this day. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name.